Welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
The natural man always values the husk of religion. These husks are the trappings of fine meeting houses, respectable meetings, great crowds, skillful preachers, singers, and musicians. They are most encouraged when someone is stirring them up to excitement through great oratory or displays of entertainment which hold their rapt attention. Those preachers which can incite men to perform great feats of devotion, such as soul winning, Bible reading, tithing, etc., are those who are held in great esteem and command large salaries for their services. Just as these Jews to whom Isaiah prophesied had no regard to the work of the Lord, so it is in great measure among most of the religious assemblies calling themselves Christian churches today. They have little concern for the work of the Lord, since they generally believe that they are the ones who perform it for Him, or at least in a partnership agreement of sorts. They are convinced that their God has no hands but theirs, and no feet except their own. He is just like the gods of the heathen which David describes. The predominant message which we hear preached all around us would lead men to believe that their salvation is some kind of cooperative effort between them and the Lord. It is an affront to the glory of God when men have regard to any other work than that which Christ has performed. To do so is to disregard the work of Christ as being the sum total of that which is needful for the deliverance of the children of God. To add anything to this salvation which men must perform is to disregard the completeness of Christ's redemption and thereby to disregard His glory. The Pharisees believed the Scriptures and were avid students of them, yet the Lord rebuked them and told them that they were missing the whole meaning and purpose of the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. If a man can quote the whole Bible from memory, yet does not see Christ on every page, that man has missed the truth and disregarded the work of the Lord. It is not enough to preach that men can be saved if one does not preach that those for whom Christ shed His blood must be saved. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. To deny that Christ obtained eternal redemption for His elect is to disregard the work of the Lord. It is not enough to say that the blood of Christ is of such value as to be sufficient to save all men when one does not declare that He has shed His blood solely and specifically for those whose names were written upon His breast, when He entered into the Holy of Holies with His own blood as a direct and definite atonement for their sins. To consider that some of those for whom the blood of Christ was shed shall perish is to disregard the work of the Lord. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. It is not enough to declare the wideness of God's mercy, if one does not declare that He reserves the sovereign right to show mercy to whom He wills, and to harden whom He wills. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. It is to disregard the work of the Lord to intimate that mercy is somehow owed to men or bestowed upon all indiscriminately by Him whose mercy endureth forever. It is not enough to preach that whosoever will may come if one does not declare that He alone can give a man the gift of faith and make him willing in the day of thy power. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. To encourage men to have faith without telling them who is the author and finisher of faith is to disregard the work of the Lord. It is not enough to tell men that they must be born again if one does not make it plain that this new birth is completely and totally the operation of the Spirit of God upon men without any active participation on their part. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. To tell men that they can be born again by an act of their free will is to disregard the work of the Lord who quickeneth whom He will. May the Lord our God give us a proper regard for the work of the Lord. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in His doing toward the children of men. He is the Savior of sinners and the Redeemer of the hopeless.
If you would like a free transcript of this broadcast, email us at forthepoor@windstream.net.